a 360-degree view on sports.
Takir Dawood, welcome to the grandstand right here on Vision View Sports Radio.
Thank you so much. It's an honor and a pleasure to be back to where the journey all started.
It's an honor to be sitting with the Gauteng Sports Awards nominee. Look at you. Has it sunk in?
It hasn't really sunk in. It's a massive achievement, especially being a freelancer.
Yeah.
Calling journalism somewhat my side hustle, but always taking it to the next level in terms of pushing quality content out there and, you know, just giving the public what they want to hear, because ultimately it's the stories behind the stories that the general fan or spectator in the stands wants to hear.
You know what excites me the most, and something that we actually spoke about off air, the fact that freelancers are now given an opportunity to be nominated for such prestigious awards, because you often have to be affiliated with some sort of organization for you to be recognized. So it's good to see that things have changed. But obviously this year's awards are also bigger. Three extra categories have been added. So from the 16, they now have 19 with the introduction of the Online Virtual Sports and Recreation Program of the Year category, coming in the aftermath of the coronavirus and the need for sporting codes to become more creative in finding ways of keeping their sports active. But today it's all about the Sports Journalist of the Year category, and you are nominated alongside Umpomi from Soweto TV, as well as, is it Nandi?
Yes, Nandi Buthelezi
from Vow FM.
That's correct.
And have you interacted with your competition?
It's crazy, because these are really women that I look up to. And the fact that Nandi and myself worked together on a TV show earlier this year highlighting women's sports in rugby, it was crazy, because here we're both working on the same show, pushing each other week in and week out to get quality content out there, to always make our stories fresh and new, so that you can keep the public engaged in your stories. And next thing we look, we're both in the same category for Journalist of the Year. And as for Mpumi, it's like, that is crazy. That's wild. Like, I always look up to her in the industry, because she's one of those women that are just fearless. And that's what I always admired about her. And I was like, you know what? If there's one characteristic out of all of the journalists that I could take and positively implement it in what I do, this industry can be so much better.
But you know, Takir, your story is one for the books, a very, very interesting one. The fact that your journalism journey started on a smartphone. Like, you have to elaborate on this.
Well, I was literally just a kid with a dream. And I couldn't get a platform. As you know, like, nobody's just going to give you a radio platform, a television platform. And then I decided, well, I've got about 500 friends on Facebook. Why don't I just start telling stories about our community heroes on my smartphone? And the same way we're going live on Instagram now, I went live on Facebook every Sunday morning. And you know what the crazy thing is? It was like, the theme was coffee and co-sisters on a Sunday morning.
Because I remember. Okay.
You know, it's so like synonymous to the colored community, where on a Sunday morning, while you're drinking your coffee, eating your co-sisters, you're speaking about the weekend sports. And here I've got the community heroes, community icons, just chatting about their journey in sport. And from that, it grew. And it grew to the point where, yes, we got a bigger following, we got more people following us. Then we took things to the next level, where I decided, okay, cool, we're going to tap into a market now that hasn't been tapped into before in South Africa. And we're going to create a video cast.
Nice.
And for those that don't know, a video cast is like a podcast, but with video.
Yeah, with visual.
Yes, with visuals. So that's how we got into it. And one thing became another, one thing led to another. And then we now have radio stations wanting the show on their platform. And that's how my journey in journalism began. And it's crazy, like, you know, last year was such a full circle moment for me in hard lockdown, because, you know, I started on a smartphone interviewing our community heroes.
Yeah.
And the day it struck me, and when I actually realized what I'm doing has a bigger effect, was when I called the World Cup winner, Elton Yankees. And I'm like, dude, listen up, man. I'd like to interview you on my show. And it was like, bruh, I thought you're never going to ask.
Are you kidding me?
And I was like, wow, okay, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, dude, I'm for real. I actually would love to. And it's like, why didn't you ever do this before? I was like, dude, you're a World Cup winner. I'm only used to our community, guys. What do you mean?
But I mean, Takir, when did your love for sports actually begin, especially when it comes to rugby?
As a kid, eh? My parents, my dad took me to my first rugby game. And that's where it actually all struck me. And as you get older, you realize that, yo, I want to be a player. Mm. But then you need to realize sometimes you have the passion, you have the desire, you just don't have the talent.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when it struck me. It was like, the sport industry is so broad. I have to find myself in this industry. I don't know how, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I need to be in this industry. And that's when I started falling in love with everything behind the scenes.
And how important is it to be honest with yourself? Because I love your honesty. You know, there are people who, they just force things and it really isn't working, but you are able to maneuver around something that you still want to be a part of, but also being honest with yourself.
I think honesty plays a big role, a massive role. And, you know, for me in this journey as well, so much honest conversations had to be had with myself. Mm. And I think that if it wasn't for me being as hard on myself, I don't think I'd be where I am today. Because I promise you, I would look at world-class productions coming from the likes of your BBCs, your Super Sports, your Stan Sports, from across the world. And I even refer to stuff on Sky, on ESPN, to see how they do things. And with minimal resources, I try to implement what they do to give our general public in South Africa quality content, because that's what it's all about.
Would you say that's how you managed to grow or nurture your craft? Because people don't know that this also requires a whole lot of hard work. As much as you can have the talent, but there's a lot of things, like lots and lots of ingredients that make up the bigger picture.
No, definitely. You know what? When I do my shows on a Friday or on a Sunday, the work starts immediately once we go off air. Because then you start clipping those and then you start putting it out online. Once you're done clipping those videos, putting it out online, you need to start promoting it so people can go back to the interview and refer to it in case they missed a segment or they missed something. And then you basically start with the next week's show because the prep has been done before I even went on air for this week's show. So I know who I'm interviewing next week. Contact has been made with that person. Once I go off air, we start looking for overlay. We start looking for videos and pictures that put the story together. And that's how I start to develop my story as to how I'm going to go about interviewing the person and getting the best information out of them.
Takir, you know, being a freelancer is so broad. Probably one person is just sitting at home and they're kind of asking themselves, what do you do? And it's not even a bad thing. Like, it's always good to also have your finger in every single pie. But what exactly do you do?
In the streets term, you could call me a hustler.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that's what every freelancer is. Because, yes, I do graphics operations as a job. However, my passion and, you know, my desire is to be in journalism, in media, in television, in radio, to tell stories and put stories out there. So for me as a freelancer, it starts with my video cast. It starts with me being on radio every week. Voiceovers. I mean, for me, I was blessed this year to do the club rugby in Gauteng. Almost every game that was broadcasted, doing the voiceovers on a Monday morning, clipping those stories and putting stories together that was in the magazine show. And the same applied for the Blue Bulls. And then it came for the Women's League as well. I mean, I was the first person to commentate a women's match on live television. And I think that was crazy. For me, only after the match, I realized this was actually the first time it happened in South Africa. And that's when it struck me to be like, okay, we are now. We can't disappoint.
Would you say that's your career highlight so far?
I would.
Okay.
I would. I think that definitely is. You know, as you know, over the years with my stories that I've been telling, we never focused on anything mainstream because mainstream is where all the hype is. However, I looked for those gaps in the market of sporting codes, athletes, and sport that wasn't covered as much. And in South Africa at the moment, women's rugby is on the rise, but it's not getting
the recognition it deserves, yeah,
and the exposure it deserves. And that's where I decided to tap into that. This was last year. And once I decided to tap into that, I said, I am going 500% at this, and nothing's going to stop me until women's rugby is put on the platform where they need to be put.
And I think, Takir, for someone who's listening and they are aspiring to be a freelancer, I'm a freelancer myself, and it's very, very stressful. We need to be honest as well that, yes, we've mentioned that it requires a whole lot of work. You've also mentioned that you basically need to hustle as well and also believe in yourself, you know. What advice do you have for those who want to be on their own?
Look, you need to realize that with every risk that you're going to take, there's a lot of responsibility that's on your shoulders as well. And yes, it gets difficult. It does take its toll on your mental health because you determining your salary every month.
And
you know, it gets tricky.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. But at the end of the day, if you love what you're doing, nothing can stand in your way from achieving those great heights and those great goals that are out there. I mean, there's so many opportunities out there. You just need to take advantage and find how you're going to enter the market differently and give the public something different to what's already been given to them.
Can you see why you nominated, Mar? Huh? Well spoken, you know your story. But what exactly did you study?
So I actually studied sport management. My dream was to go into sport administration. I honestly seen myself as probably a sport marketer or even a team manager of a rugby team matter. And as time went on, I found myself at Raiders Rugby Club where I realized, but what's going on here? There's no media department. These guys have no media exposure. Like, it's pointless doing so many great things at ground level, but not putting it out there. And that's where many people get it confused, because in sport, once you put the good work that you do out there, you attract sponsorship. It's almost like you become a magnet. And those are the types of things that brands want to be attached with. And that's when I decided, okay, cool. I'm going to take this role of a media officer, make it my own, and I'm going to grow in this space so that one day I can become a media officer of a professional team. And okay, it didn't work out like that, or it didn't work out yet like that. I'm still going to be a media officer of a pro team.
Yes.
God willing.
Yes.
And yeah, that's how I got into the media space. And that's how I started interacting more with media. And that's how I actually landed up in journalism.
And besides wanting to be a media officer, what else do you want to achieve? How far do you want to go?
Looking at it now, I see myself being a broadcaster at the next Rugby World Cup.
That's the spirit. Ah, I love it. I love it. I love it indeed. But just before I let you go, though, I'll use you now since you are here. The Springboks are playing this coming weekend against Wales. Jaak Nienaber has made four changes. Your thoughts?
I think it's an amazing lineup. He's obviously played it safe, giving Damian Willems a start at fullback. He's only his fourth start in the 14 matches that he played. And he's made quite a positional change, a rotational swap.
Yeah,
many seem that, it's crazy, moving Jesse Creel from center to the wing.
To wing, yeah.
But a lot of people forget that in Jesse Creel's under 21 Curry Cup season, he was actually a fullback. So making the change from 14 to 15 isn't that much because it doesn't require so many technical changes. So that's the only change that I've seen that was a bit interesting there. But other than that, it's pretty much the same Springbok team that done duty for us against the British and Irish Lions. A bulk of that squad come from the World Cup. So it's more the continuity that Coach Jaak Nienaber is looking at.
And how do you think it's going to fare?
Well, Wales actually have four injuries to their key players. Alan Wynne-Jones is out. They've got a few injuries in the forward pack as well. So that's gonna be interesting, because having four key players, good players out before a match against the world champions and the same team that won the series against the British and Irish Lions is tough. So I see the Springboks winning this one.
Oh, definitely, without being patriotic, right? Like, these are just facts.
Straight facts.
Now, we are gearing up for the awards next weekend. The nerves, are you praying every day? What are you doing? What's your ritual? Like, how nervous are you, you know? Because, I mean, it would be great. You know, the fact that you nominated is makes you a winner already, but we just need that cherry on top, right?
It would be nice. However, no disrespect to anybody. But the hustle needs to continue.
Yeah.
The grind needs to continue. A lot of people ask me, what are you wearing? What are you doing? I honestly don't know. For right now, I just need to focus on getting my job done and doing work that needs to be done. And we'll focus on it when we get there.
No, you are a brand. You are a Gauteng Sports Awards nominee, you know. What are you wearing, actually? I'll help you out.
I think you need to wait and see on the day.
Okay, you so it's a surprise. Are you allowed to bring a plus one? Because I'm free, I'm available.
Hey.
Hype man. Yeah,
don't make those gents reconsider the labola, you know?
I think we'll end it right there. Oh, man, Takir, from us here at Vision View Sports Radio, you've spoken to most of us, especially in the different shows. You've contributed to the success of Vision View Sports Radio. We'd like to say congratulations. We are rooting for you. Fingers crossed. The fact that you nominated already makes you a winner. We thank you for the contribution, you know, that you make in the rugby fraternity, especially just advocating for women's rugby as well, and just sports in general. So all the best, and yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you to Vision View Sports Radio. I mean, you know, it's been working with the best and the greatest in the industry, Mots, working with the likes of Tato. You know, it's like they took me under their wing, and they... I promise you, working with Mots was difficult. She pushed me to the limits week in and week out, to points where I thought I'm going to cry. I'm like, what more does Mots want for me?
Tough love.
I mean, that tough love and those moments, and even with the station managers working with Mandla, Victor, those guys always push me to another level every week. And, you know, I'm thankful and grateful to have such amazing people in my life as colleagues, as friends. And here we are today. I mean... You're doing the most in the netball space in South Africa.
Oh,
the World Cup coming to South Africa next year. I know that you're going to be the face of netball, and we're looking forward to it. I just appreciate the fact that we can all grow together and take this industry of sport to the next level.
You're making me so emotional, but I receive. Thank you so much, Takir. I wish you all the best. We're definitely rooting for you because you are part of family.
Thank you so much.
Your 24-hour sport entertainment radio station, Vision View Sports Radio.